Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
A new social media campaign is targeting celebrities who haven't spoken out against what's happening in Gaza. But is it working?
The sort of blockout movement is a lot more about the shifting attitudes towards celebrity than it is about really achieving anything. Because yes, Kim Kardashian has lost followers, and there are some cases where celebrities are seeing a dent. But I think this movement misunderstands how traditional celebrities make most of their money.
I'm Taylor Lorenz, and we'll be talking about the celebrity blockout this week on Power User.
All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Waveform Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez.
And I'm Andrew.
And we've got Adam here today with us as well, because we're doing a little bit of a special episode 100.
Yeah.
It's been a long time in the making. It's not our 100th ever episode, but it's our 100th video Waveform Podcast published, something like that. That's how we're treating it. It's our 100th video.
I don't think so.
Not quite.
It's not even our 100th video?
No.
What is it, our 100th?
It's our 100th episode. There was like the original episode that was, or like the announcement episode. And then technically there's like one more bonus episode that was just like the full uncut interview of something.
So
this is like our 100th published episode.
Regularly
scheduled episode.
It's welcome to our 100th regularly scheduled episode.
Nailed
we
it.
Feel pretty good about it though, because we've got some special things lined up. But we're going to talk about the new 5G rollout and how it might affect your next flight. Kind of a weird topic, but it's a fun one. Also, some new images and videos of the Cybertruck have popped up that we haven't seen yet, so we're going to react to it, and then we're going to end up with our first Q&A of 2022. So it's a good one. But first, episode 100, we happened to time this perfectly, or maybe you guys timed this perfectly. It's a bunch of
let
time.
Adam personally, take credit for it.
I personally had everyone subscribe at just the right time so that we would get these.
It's pretty sweet. These are our YouTube plaques for the channels, and there's two of them.
Let's not dox ourselves with these labels.
You probably can't read them.
I'll play them out.
Yeah, have fun with that.
It's 4K yet.
Just more work, Adam, as it is.
Did it to myself.
There are two. There is a YouTube Waveform Channels plaque, and there's also a Waveform Clips Channels plaque, because you guys are smart enough to be subscribed to both of them and got them both over 100,000 subscribers. So we're taking them out of the box. This is fun for me because I've actually never in person held the new style of YouTube plaque. And this probably goes all the way back to the beginnings of like how I feel about YouTube. I tweeted one of Hank Green's videos earlier this year, and I said like YouTube is kind of an anomaly at how well it treats creators.
Oh, yeah.
And I got tons of replies like, what do you mean YouTube treats creators well? They treat everyone like garbage. Of course, maybe they treat the best creators well. I'm like, no, it's kind of a
relatively
speaking, like what other platform does most of the things YouTube does, aside from all of the AdSense and sharing revenue, but having a plaques rewarding people from achieving certain subscriber milestones. I don't remember TikTok doing that or Facebook or anything else like that. So it's just another example of something YouTube doesn't have to do, but they do. All the plaques that I have are from an older generation that look different.
The OGs.
They're older and thicker and
heavier.
Heavier.
At least the million one is. That thing's like 40 pounds,
crazy.
I feel like.
Yeah, they streamlined the process a little bit. So let's take a look at these. Let's get the 100,000 subscriber waveform.
No, you open it, man.
Both
you're the one
them?
Editing all these videos. I mean, you don't have to do both. Maybe we'll let Marquez do the other one, but you do the honors of the first
one. Yeah,
let's do the first one. Can you see that on camera? Nope, I'm going to have to blur that. Okay, cool. Perfect. Opening. There's a nice little letter here. Congratulations on your subscriber milestone. We are honored to take part in recognizing your achievement and want your experience to be exceptional. This award was inspected and packaged with great care by Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Shout out, Rick.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it. We got the nice little letter here, hand signed by Susan, which is cool.
CEO. Nice.
Yes.
They could see that. And then this one's for the clips. So Waveform Clips channel for passing 100,000.
So it's the silver. So the way they do it, just for those unfamiliar, is there's a 100,000 subscriber plaque. It is silver. There is a 1 million subscriber plaque when you add a digit. That one is a little taller and gold. And that is very shiny. That's
this is awesome.
That's nice. That's lightweight.
Guys.
I haven't seen this either. Congratulations to you, dude. You're the one who got the video. Like, without you, video doesn't happen right now. So,
I mean, don't make me blush.
Obviously, the podcast has been going on for a little longer, but like, since videos come in, we've seen great numbers from it. I mean, the channel's been blowing up. It's been doing really well. And
can I hold it?
Hopefully, it's well deserved. It's nice. It's light.
Yeah, it is very
light. It's like a really solid quality feeling plaque while still being light and like not terrifying to hang on your wall and just like rip drywall screws out.
That's the problem with the million one that you have.
The million one that I have.
You literally can't hang it.
Literally weighs 40 pounds. I'm not exaggerating. Like, how do you hang something that weighs 40 pounds?
Insane.
So this is nice. This is nice. Have you seen the What's Inside video where he cuts it in half?
No.
They cut one of these in half.
Wait, I'm curious what was in it.
It's just more, alloy.
This is clear. Okay. You can see it's hollow through the the holes in the back.
Yeah. The actual total thickness of this is only a fraction of this.
Oh.
But, you know.
No, nice.
Still cool.
Let's pop the other one out so we can see both of them. Yeah.
Clips, baby.
I mean, I guess we kind of saw the hey, knife guy. Can we borrow that?
Got you, fam. Check out the knife on the latest EDC video in the studio channel.
I thought that was an open blade for a second.
Open her up.
Yeah, you hold this one.
I don't hold this.
Hold my plaque. Hold my plaque.
Audio listeners, thanks for sticking through this because this must be kind of chaotic.
I'll cut out the dead air.
Yeah.
This one is also packaged and inspected by Rick.
Oh,
Rick
nice.
Is the man.
Thank you, Rick.
We're also going to be doing the studio one soon as well. So I wonder if we'll be 3 for 3 on Rick's.
Oh, yeah.
Did they come at the same time?
Yeah, they all came together.
It could all be from Rick.
Yado actually, I think, ordered it.
Yeah, he ordered
a couple
it before
days beforehand, but we got all of them at the same time. I wonder if they do kind of like batches of them.
Oh, they spelled it wrong.
No way.
Just kidding. Oh. I got you guys.
No, I was literally on my way in and I was telling David, like, I really hope I didn't make a typo on these.
Yeah, they do ask you what you want to put down here. So waveform.
Oh, yeah, because technically we still haven't fixed it yet. But I think on our YouTube channel, it's WVFRM podcast and then waveform spelled out clips.
Yeah.
We do have
so we wanted
full,
to make them together.
We have the full waveform URL / waveform, so that's nice.
Yeah.
So yeah.
They look good. I like that this is actually like 3D here, like mirror and then a little extruded play button in there.
It is like an actual mirror. Like I can see
your
reflection.
I can see
Marcus
in his eyes.
Yeah, I can see y'all. Nice.
Okay. Cool. Sweet.
Those look awesome. Sick.
We're
nice.
Hang
so,
them up in here.
Next a million.
Next a million. We're working on it.
Make sure to share
before the
video.
Two for the 200th episode.
You're working
1 million.
On. Ooh, 200? Yeah. No, we could hit it before then.
We could probably hit it before that.
I hope.
I believe.
It's up to
all
you.
All right. Do you want to just hang out with us and react to the Cybertruck?
Ooh,
while
let's
you're
do
here?
It. Because I've seen it and I have.
Have
thoughts.
You? Oh, okay. Marquez and I specifically tried not to watch these. I mean, we've obviously seen Cybertruck. A new walk around video came out.
Yeah.
There's some new extra pictures, a couple things that have changed.
I've seen a couple. I've avoided watching the video so
far.
Yeah,
I've seen some like
But I've seen the headlines. And basically what's happening is the Cybertruck was announced on stage and kind of like how, you know, when you see like the concept car and then you see the final shipping car, there's always differences. Some are very far apart. Some of them are pretty close. Like Porsche Mission E concept.
Oh, nothing.
Close. It's relatively close.
It is closer than
to the Taycan.
It looks better than
the
Mission E.
Yeah, they got the wheels right. They got some of the stuff. So, like, this is a natural expectation of Cybertruck on stage versus Cybertruck that hits the streets. On stage, we did not see mirrors. What else? The wheels are pretty crazy looking. Like, there's a bunch of questions about what the final Cybertruck's going to look like, plus a lot of talks by Elon about how they're going to make it smaller. So, should we just click on the video and just watch it?
Yeah,
we'll see what's
same
going on.
Time.
What should we do? Watch it on your screen?
You want to just 3, 2, 1 and press play?
Okay. Yeah, let me open the URL
Oops,
first.
I did it already.
Is the YouTube one? YouTube one?
Yeah. The link I put in
Okay,
the
I'll press play in 3, 2, 1, play. So it looks like we're indoors. Okay, right off the bat, those are different wheels.
That is like the arachnid wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't match very well.
Nope.
They look too small, but they look more like wheels than the concept wheels. The concept wheels almost looked like they went to like the edges.
I like the concept wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wheels on the concept looked way sicker.
This looks like a guy in a factory. He's got a hard hat on. He's just pointing it at a prototype.
This guy got fired.
Yep.
Okay. So we've got, I see the cameras in the A pillar. I see no door handles, but I do see side view mirrors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
very
oh
standard
my,
mirrors.
Look at the size of that windshield wiper.
It's crazy.
The windshield wiper is the one thing I saw that I'm very confused about.
Holy smokes.
It's just a singular windshield wiper. They're going along like the front of the truck now. It's very flat. Honestly, From the front, I kind of dig it. I've never been a huge fan of this truck, just to say.
I think if you look at a truck, they built the bottom third of the bumper out to be like plastic, so it's not like steel all the way to the bottom.
It's got like a bumper, and then it's the like steel or whatever.
Yeah, that's probably front. A safety-related front. Thing. Yeah,
quote unquote grill or grill area. Bumper. Yeah.
It's still such a triangle though. It's
kind of strange because the window looks almost like seamless up to the front like quarter. Okay, this windshield wiper looks like it's like 5 feet long and it's one singular. The amount of torque coming out of the like motor of this thing wiper. Probably is like a Nissan Leaf motor. Like that's how much power it probably
needs.
That's
a serious windshield wiper.
Wow, Nissan Leaf shade.
Very interested in it. Yeah.
It's going to take that much to move it. Okay, so I've seen a bunch of different windshield wiper versions. Like you see like two that come, how do I do this? Two from one side that wipe next to each other. Or you'll see like overlapping windshield wipers. Or you'll see the bus ones that go next to each other. Whenever you have one huge windshield wiper on the shape of a normal windshield, you're missing part of it. So if this is on the driver's side, like the passenger is just not going to get very much.
Yeah, that's not that big of a deal if you're driving, I guess. Yeah. But like a lot of times you'll see one big one and then like one small one to kind of like pick up the kind of thing that's left. But this one giant one seems, also was it defaulted as like up? Did you notice that?
Yeah, it's just at the side of the windshield.
It starts at the side rather than starting at the bottom.
I don't know.
It must take so much force to pull that back up while it's scraping across the windshield. I mean, I know it's not like a ton of friction, but it literally needs friction in order to work. Oh, he's going. It looks like on the back truck, there's a couple places for like ratchet straps or being able to tie stuff down to the back of the trunk.
I think that might have been a button for the cover.
Really?
The tonneau or whatever it's called.
The cover. Yeah.
Are the tires small or is the car big?
Yes. Definitely both. The Cybertruck is massive.
Yeah.
So I think these are pretty big wheels, but compared to the size of the Cybertruck, they're not very big, as you can tell.
I'm going to pause just because he's done a full 360 around.
We've gone all the way around it. Yeah. There's still no door handles, I've noticed. I don't know.
Did you see Elon's response to that?
What? No.
He said, now I need to... Because it was a very similar to along the lines of like all human input is error.
Of course.
Oh, you know what this also reminds me of? There was a bit of a more complete roadster looking thing floating around. I think it also had a giant windshield wiper or two.
Really?
I think they also had to do something about the mirrors. And I remember when we saw the roadster prototype, and this is still very prototypey because there's no roadsters out. You could slide your finger down on the A-pillar and it would unlock the door and pop it open.
What?
That seems like it would fail all the time, right? Because we've had the Mach-E here before, which doesn't have a real handle, but it's got this little scoop thing in and you can sort of touch that and it pops the door open two inches and then you pull it out. Cybertruck seems like a ruggedized vehicle you'd want like manual handles on. But it doesn't have any handles in this video. They're really sticking to it.
Yeah, there's still no handles.
So wait, how would you... Does it just sense when you're walking close to the car and it pops it open?
When you come up, it's supposed to open for you.
But what if you're just like passing your car?
This is a Model X issue. If you walk up to the Model X with the key in your pocket, you can set the setting for it to auto-open the doors. Uh-huh. So you walk up to the... Actually, no, that's not true. You have to hit the button. You have to hit some side of the car thing. So on the Model X, you walk up to it. As you get close to it, it unlocks. Then you press the handle, and it automatically opens the door all the way. You get in, you put your foot on the brake, and it closes the door all the way.
That's cool.
So that's cool when it works.
Yeah.
It breaks all the time. But on the Cybertruck, it seems like they want to do this like touch interface on the side of the car.
So he said, in the end, we kept production design almost exactly the same as a show car, minus those giant mirrors, but whatever. Just some small tweaks here and there to make it slightly better. No door handles. Car recognizes you and opens the door. Having all four wheels steer is amazing for nimble handling and tight turns.
Oh, four-wheel steering is cool.
Yeah, okay. It is cool. But
the car is going to recognize you and
open
the door.
Well, could you imagine?
Unlock or open?
This says car recognizes you and opens door. Huh. Imagine that door swinging open into
huge steel door.
A toddler or another car.
Into traffic.
I mean... No, at least if you hit a shopping cart, it's not damaging the door. It's just launching the shopping cart probably across the parking lot.
I don't know why the visual of a toddler being flung across the floor.
Dude, that's
terrible.
I worked at a restaurant once and a kid walked in front of the kitchen door and got slammed pretty hard. And I can only imagine that with the Cybertruck door. But
not ideal.
This is pretty wild speculation on how hard it opens. I'm assuming they have some sort of camera.
Because it opens soft.
Doesn't Model X have something like that where it's side doors that come up? It like can judge how far a car is away from it.
It's got Falcon doors and it's got cameras, but also ultrasonic sensors. So if it can tell that it's going to have to open a certain amount out, it'll actually change the path of the door opening so it doesn't hit anything.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Elon's tweet of saying the car recognizes you might be like a fancy way of saying like your phone is your key, and when you get close to it, it'll know it's you. I don't know if it's going to have a camera looking and identifying people on the street being like, oh, it's me, your owner. And then you open the door. I don't think it's that crazy. But yeah, door handles are useful. That'll be a pretty tough one.
I would like door handles. The side mirrors on this still feel very prototypey. It feels like they know they have to add them, but they just kind of added whatever on. It doesn't feel like it fits with the rest of it.
So we've had a couple things about door handles. Number one, it to me looks kind of like F-150 mirrors. Like they're just basic mirrors.
That's exactly like, this what does I was not say. Look like an F. The mirrors just look like a standard truck mirror.
Yeah, basic truck mirrors. Mm-hmm. The other thing is I asked Elon about the mirrors not being on the Roadster, and he said this about Cybertruck as well, which is like, okay, by law, we have to install them, but you don't have to have them when you're driving. The law is about manufacturing, not about driving on the road. So they can make very easy to remove mirrors and actually add like cameras and the solution they actually want you to use in the car, but include the mirrors just for shipping.
So you get the car, and if you want to remove the mirrors, you could just pop them off and use the cameras.
Theoretically, yeah. Huh. So that's what he said about Roadster to me. That's what he's implied about Cybertruck to many others. Neither of these vehicles ship. I don't know that any other car does that right now.
That was also years ago he said that, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that's still the rule, but like I've never seen a vehicle ship without, in the US without mirrors. There are some that ship with cameras where the mirrors were, but that's not in the US. Mm. So again,
that windshield wiper is really throwing me off.
It's huge.
Like if you're in the passenger seat and you're driving through somewhere scenic, you're just not going to see anything.
Yeah. Oh, like if it doesn't, I mean, I think that reach, you can kind of see the where it wouldn't hit.
Unless does it just come all the way across? Like, does it stay vertical?
That's like a printer. That would be hilarious if it was just like a printer on one side to side. Yeah, I almost feel like that would work better.
If any company would over-engineer the heck out of a windshield wiper, it's Tesla with the Cybertruck. Yeah.
That's the kind of innovation I want to see.
Yeah, I want a sliding printer-like windshield wiper.
Final thoughts on this?
It still looks like a Cybertruck to me. I think on the scale of like concept cars versus final shipping cars, if I give the one on stage a concept car view versus the one we're seeing now, turns out to be what ships, this is actually relatively close to what they originally showed. That being said, it still looks like a Cybertruck. It still looks crazy. It's going to be a sight on the road. It's going to be a presence on the streets, and it's going to be, it's going to be a Cybertruck. It's crazy.
Insane.
Yeah.
I don't really like it. I prefer, out of the whole concept car versus this car that's out now, I much preferred the concept car just because it looked cohesive. Even if it's not the final version, like this just does not look cohesive. It looks like they copy-pasted the top of the concept car and pasted it onto a Ford F-150 or something.
I think they changed the tires on the final by this. I feel like this is, I think they're going to make some sort of rim to go with Cybertruck. Because this looks like, those are just arachnids, aren't they? Or what are those new?
They're probably bigger than normal, but
I think they're going to make some sort of wheels. I'm sure they'll make something with some sort of aero cap on it that will probably look, the concept one had kind of like an aero cap feel to it. I don't know. This is cool, I guess. It's different. It's like gigantic, which I really think everyone underestimates driving.
I can't wait to see it in person.
Basically.
I can't wait to see it. I'm going to be terrified when these and the Hummer EVs are on the road. Like,
there's going to be way more of these than the Hummer EV, according to pre-orders.
Oh, I think there's going to be, I'm far more excited about like the Rivian over this in a personal aspect.
The Rivian also has this. How do you feel about the bar headlight?
I dig it. Because I mean, I don't dig this whole design, but I like a bar headlight.
The bar headlight. When I'm driving in front of a car with bar headlights, it's a mixed feelings experience, but I think they look sick. I love a bar taillight. Always have.
Yeah, it's hard right now because like not many are doing the standard bar headlights, so a lot of bar headlights you could see are aftermarket where people are like
People put like on their roof, they'll put a bar
or
whatever.
Yeah, and that's way brighter, and then it just sucks driving.
And then it's at the wrong height. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm decently into the design. Originally, I did a video on why we're getting a Cybertruck. because we wanted to get one as a camera car. Because all the stuff we've shot a bunch of camera car videos in the past, and we found like, okay, we shot out the side of a minivan. It's kind of convenient to have the sliding doors. We shot out the back of a pickup truck. That's cool. You can hang the Movi out at different angles and stuff like that.
By Movi, you mean Brandon?
Both, for sure.
Brandon's the arm holding the Movi.
It's a stabilizer. And to us, it was like, oh, Cybertruck is kind of the best of all of the worlds. You can have somebody hanging out the side. You can put somebody in the bed. It's going to be silent. It's going to be just as fast as any car we want. But we've actually worked on a much better solution very recently, and now it's back to just being like, we have one on order.
I can't wait to shoot this with that.
Oh,
for
yeah.
audio listeners, yeah. the Cybertruck with what we just hooked up.
Oh, and, yeah. What spec did you get on it?
So the triple motor, okay. just because we presume those will ship first.
Okay. What was the one? There was a cheaper version, right? That now people don't think is going to come out.
There was going to be a dual motor and a single motor.
Okay.
And I think the speculation is that they're going to cancel the single motor, yeah, or it'll be a very late shipper that eventually gets canceled.
I bet it gets canceled completely.
Yeah. So the highest performance, most expensive ones will ship first. I also would guess that most people who ordered a Cybertruck just went to the top. Not most people. I think a lot of people who ordered a Cybertruck went to the top, and that gave them incentive to just convert or switch the order and just ship those first.
Yeah. I wonder, like, in terms of going to the top, it's increasing, like, your towing capacity or, like, torque and stuff like that, because how much – and range, I guess, right?
And range, yeah.
Okay. Because, like, I think of most people when it comes to, like, pickup trucks now, they're going to the top because they want the more – It's an interior thing that really changes when you're like on an F-150 and you're going I think it's like the Lariat to the like whatever King Ranch or something like that. You're getting like some crazy interior and then like, because you're like living in your truck pretty much.
These will all be the same.
Yeah.
These will be, you get a yoke. They all have a yoke. They all have that like
weird.
That sounds
like so much fun for towing things when you have to like really be specific about turning things around. Yeah, there's a lot of towing.
They have that weird marble countertop thing. They've got two rows of seats. They've got the three in the front, three in the back thing happening.
Oh.
And although the middle is like an armrest that folds down.
Bench front seat.
Yeah.
It's been a while since that's been a thing.
Yeah, I remember shooting this video and like looking at this. It's just a countertop with a yoke and like a center screen, like a Model 3 center screen, but bigger.
Huh.
So yeah, they'll all have the same trim. But
yeah, interior, yeah,
if you go for the highest end version, you get towing capacity, range, and a faster 0-60.
Yeah.
Faster?
What everyone's
so what's the fa- what is the faster?
Let's see. The Cybertruck.
Think of how many more estimates you can make at your blue collar job with your truck if you can go 0-60, destroying anything in your path.
Get to the next job site real quick.
Destroying everything.
2.9 seconds.
Oh my God.
The triple motor Cybertruck is at least
the
quoted.
The Rivian's three, right?
The Rivian is three flat. It's absurdly
That's
fast.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, they give us a horsepower number. The Rivian is quad motor, 800 plus horsepower. It's a fast truck.
Yeah. It's smaller too. So
it is small and nimble. Mm. The Cybertruck is going to be big. Elon says nimble, but like, you know, even with four-wheel steering, like, it's a big truck.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It can be nimble for its size, but when you're that size, it's hard to be nimble. Yeah.
Yeah.
Model 3 is like what? Four something? Four point something?
They get into the threes.
Threes with the performance models. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is faster than that.
Twice the weight, just as fast.
That's insane.
It'll be interesting. Seeing it on the street, man.
These are dangerous.
That's what it comes down to.
I'm going to walk to work from now on.
You start seeing them on the highway. Like, nope.
Nah,
I'm out of here.
Good.
Pull over to the shoulder.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a little stainless steel unboxing and stainless steel truck. How about that for a segue? But we got to take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll talk 5G and stainless steel tubes in the sky.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway.
And I'm Ed Elson.
And we're the hosts, the co-hosts. It's kind of unfair to call us co-hosts. I'm really the host. He's he's my Robin Givens. Let's just be clear on what this is. But anyways, we're the hosts of Prop G Markets, your go-to podcast for all things money. Every Monday, we provide brash, unfiltered analysis on market-moving news, high-flying stocks, growing sectors, stupid boardroom decisions, and master of the universe CEOs.
And on Thursdays, we speak with some of the world's greatest finance professors, Wall Street insiders, and industry experts to keep you informed without getting bored. So if you want to understand money and how you can get more of it, You have to talk about money, and we're here to help you do that. Follow Prof G Markets on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts to automatically receive new episodes every Monday and every Thursday.
That's right. The good news is we know how to get you economic security. The bad news is the answer is slowly. We'll tell you how on Prof G Markets.
Support for the show comes from Anthropic. Companies of all sizes are exploring use cases for AI and finding that it's not a one-size-fits-all game. It's all about finding the right balance between speed and intelligence. Like if you're powering a customer chat experience, you need instant speed at low cost. If you're doing complex R&D or advanced analysis, you need frontier intelligence. Claude 3 from Anthropic offers AI models for a variety of tasks and budgets. Claude 3 Opus is their largest and most powerful model that can handle complex tasks and analysis. Sonnet strikes the balance between information and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and most cost-effective model that can execute lightweight actions fast. Anthropic's dedicated to building AI systems that are reliable, interpretable, and steerable. Their multidisciplinary team of researchers, engineers, policy experts, and business leaders designed Claude to elevate the field of generative AI. See for yourself. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic. All right, we are back. And Dave is with us.
Wow.
Welcome back.
I'm always just showing up.
On the podcast.
Somewhere.
Sick.
Yes. No, I'm not sick anymore.
Not sick. Oh, that's good. Perfect. And we're here to talk briefly for a little bit about this weird 5G headline I keep seeing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do some Q&A. But I need to understand something. And you allegedly can explain this
allegedly.
To me.
Allegedly.
So I would love to hear what's happening. So I have a screenshotted Good Morning America tweet.
Oh.
Says airline execs warn that new 5G cell service could cause catastrophic disruption to aviation industry. Okay. All so right. This is actually really interesting because yeah. we had firsthand experience with this, believe it or not. We had the Motocrane guys fly out here and their first flight was canceled, not due to weather, but due to a 5G rollout.
I didn't know that.
Their flight was canceled.
Yeah,
so they actually had to come a day later because of that. So this is actually canceling flights, but maybe you can explain what the deal is, why this 5G is suddenly getting this new tag. What's up?
Okay. So specifically, the spectrum of 5G that we're talking about right now is called C-band.
Okay.
If you look at the entire radio wave spectrum, you go from about 3 kilohertz to 300 gigahertz. Mm-hmm. And that's a very wide spectrum, right? So in the past, we've had 2G, then 3G, then 4G. And effectively what that's doing is that is shortening the wavelength of that wave, which can have a higher power level,
higher
right?
bandwidth, et cetera.
Higher bandwidth, more data, faster data. But it goes shorter distances, the shorter the wavelength that you have because it's higher power, it's being absorbed by more things, it's being blocked by more things.
Yeah.
So, you think of AM radio and it goes super far distances, FM goes a little shorter, and then you got 3G, 4G, that kind of stuff. So, when we talk about 5G, right? This has been a big topic in our field for like 5 years now. They've been talking about 5G, now they're already starting to talk about 6G and all this stuff.
We'll get there.
Yeah. So as the mobile internet evolved and the internet evolved in general, we decided we need better downlink, better uplink, because now we're sending like 100 megabyte files to each other, just all this stuff.
Uploading 8K videos out
Yeah, here. Exactly. We're sending like higher resolution stuff constantly. So then we started rolling out, okay, we're going to roll out 5G. Now there's three sections of 5G.
Right.
There is low band 5G, and there's millimeter wave 5G, and then there is mid band or C band 5G.
So, and we did our 5G explainer video a while ago where we sort of explored the pros and cons and sort of saw what low and mid band 5G were doing and then tried to get millimeter wave 5G. We had to literally stand like feet from the tower.
Drive to Rhode Island, right?
We had to go find
a
tower first.
And you have to have line of sight.
Had to have line of sight. We went around the corner behind a glass wall and it cut out. Mm-hmm. Like rain can allegedly block millimeter wave. So mid band is in between low band and millimeter wave.
Yes. Okay. So the big reason why I think a lot of people think that 5G is like a fraud or a lie is because when 5G first rolled out in the US, it was mostly low band 5G. Verizon has been very adamant about pumping their ultra wideband thing. And that's like a big reason why they call their phones UW at the end, is because it has millimeter wave capabilities. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to be like in front of this millimeter wave tower to get that access. So most of the general 5G that will show up on your phone that will say 5G is actually low band. Now, the thing about low band is that it's around the same frequency as 4G.
Right.
So people see the 5G logo on their phone and then they do a speed test and they're like, this is like the same speed, if not sometimes slower, because sometimes it's in a lower spectrum and it's like, it can be slower for a lot of people. So then people are like, this is stupid. What's the deal with all this infrastructure? Then you got mid-band. Now, mid-band is what a lot of people consider the Goldilocks band for 5G, because it's that in-between where it still goes decently far, but it also has a lot higher speeds. So basically, T-Mobile was one of the only companies that really had a lot of mid-band spectrum, and it acquired a ton of mid-band spectrum when it acquired and merged with Sprint. Okay. So they had all this spectrum. Verizon and AT&T didn't have that much. So up until now, Verizon and AT&T being like, 5G is great, 5G is great. Specifically, AT&T, remember, they would always do 5GE, 5G Evolution. It was just like...
I still have that on my iPhone.
Which was low band. It was like low band 5G that was about the same speed as 4G, which is why people were so annoyed.
Yeah.
So basically, recently, and in a lot of other countries, C-band has been deployed for like a year already, or maybe even more than a year. And it's already been deployed at airports, which we'll talk about soon. But there was this auction in the U.S. with the FCC that basically allowed this band to be sold to different carriers. So up until now, that mid-band, C-band area was being used for satellite TV.
Okay.
So that started in the 70s. But recently, they decided that they could put the satellite TV band in a much more finite spectrum of C-band because the technology got better, that they didn't have as much like spectrum leakage. So they could just say, okay, we could put this in this really fine frequency.
Right.
And at the same time, people are cutting cords. They maybe don't have to service as much of the band anymore. They don't have to have as much of the band. So the FCC got that back and then they auctioned it off. And Verizon and AT&T specifically spent a lot of money to acquire a little bit of mid-band because they didn't really have like any mid-band before this. Mm-hmm. So Verizon spent $45.5 billion billion to get 161 megahertz of spectrum, which is not even that much. Mm-hmm. And then AT&T bought 80 megahertz of spectrum for $28 billion.
That's a lot of billions.
Yeah.
Dope.
T-Mobile spent like the least. They only spent $10 billion to flesh out spectrum they already had because they already have the most compared to
They could have just bought Activision.
Yeah, that's right. These are like similar to Activision prices.
You can buy 10 Instagrams. Go on.
So if you look at this, here is a chart and we'll throw this up. I'll talk about it for the audio listeners and we'll throw it up for the video watchers. Mm-hmm. This is the average network speeds of the three carriers over October 2020 to October 2021. And T-Mobile is just sort of that Model S plaid taken off while everyone else is left in the dust.
I've never thought I'd say this, but T-Mobile's looking pretty good right now.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good.
Okay.
So their average speed has gone way up. It's around 200 megabit, maybe a little higher. It's kind of hard to read these graphs. They try to make these graphs pretty annoying and interesting. So the drama with the FAA is that they were concerned that the mid-band spectrum, specifically the C-band spectrum, which operates in a very specific area, they were worried that that would mess with their altimeters. Which is something that helps you land a plane.
Altimeters, yeah. From what I understand, in my limited experience with altimeters, is it tells you how high you are.
Yeah, which is pretty important.
Pretty useful for a plane. Okay.
Pretty important. So obviously anything regarding public safety and public health and airplanes is extremely highly vetted. And they just didn't want any possibility of this becoming a problem. Now, the crazy thing is that this auction happened very recently. It happened in 2020. And then there had to be time for like the satellite internet company, the satellite TV companies to clear out the spectrum. But Verizon actually paid an extra $8 billion to get the satellite TV companies to clear out their spectrum faster. So there was just this incredibly fast ramp from we're not using this frequency for widespread data usage, and we are using this frequency. And so the FAA was like, hold up. If you break all our altimeters, our planes will not be safe anymore. There's going to be this major issue. Mm-hmm. So they got in this huge spat. They basically just hadn't tested all of their like altimeter. That's a very hard word to say.
It is.
All of their altimeter.
Altimeter.
Altimeter equipment to make sure that it wasn't going to interfere with their spectrum and cause noise and delays and stuff.
Fair.
So they did agree to delay the rollout of C-band by 2 weeks to give the FAA time to test a lot of equipment and sort of certify it for different planes. The problem was within that 2 weeks, not everything got tested. I think they said like 60% of planes and equipment had been certified that it was not going to interfere.
Okay.
But there were still like 40% that they hadn't certified yet. And the airlines are going to be very careful.
Sure.
With their equipment. They also came to a conclusion that they're just not going to put C-band towers within 2 miles of these airports.
That was going to be my next question, because you mentioned like C-band, mid-band goes much further than millimeter wave, but not as far as low band.
Right.
I'm wondering, okay, how far is that? Because if you have a tower right on the airport, like obviously don't turn that one on for now. But if it's 5 miles away from the airport, is that far away enough?
C-band goes about half a mile.
Okay.
I think that's what they're doing, right? There are like 50 towers that they're not like voluntarily not setting on or not rolling out.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. So there were all these towers that they were going to put at airports because obviously people just want good data everywhere.
Especially at the airport, by the way.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't like the whole use case for really, really high bandwidth 5G like, oh, I'm about to not have internet for a while. I need to download something real quick. Like the lady who's about to go down to the subway station and goes, let me just download a movie. Boop. And then she goes down to the subway with like a freshly downloaded audiobook or a movie. Like when I'm at the airport, I'm downloading all my albums and all my podcasts that I want to listen to real quick. So like the airport's the one place.
Right.
I want the 5G to be good.
That's always the use case that they use for millimeter wave too, right? Is they're just like, look how fast you can download Netflix shows.
Yep.
And honestly, like the main use case for low band is just to take off network congestion from 4G. Like that's the main issue. Because if you've ever been to like a concert or a football game or something and it says 4G LTE on your phone, but you can't get any data through, it's because the network is just so congested. So by opening up more spectrum, even though it's about the same speed, you can offload some of those users that have 5G capabilities onto the 5G spectrum, and that way the network's not as congested. You have more like checkout lanes for the customers, right? So, but the problem was they marketed 5G as this revolutionary technology, and then low band was like, this is just 4G again, and millimeter wave was like, one millionth of the people on the planet can use this, and so everyone's like, 5G is a lie. But mid-band and specifically C-band is like a really good area where you get that benefit of 500 to 600 megabit downloads. Verizon advertises you can get up to 1 gigabit on it. Mm-hmm. But again, that's ideal scenarios and that's peak speeds, which is different from average speeds, as we learned with the horsepower thing.
Yep.
So that's kind of the whole thing. So planes got delayed. Planes had to be grounded for a little bit.
So there was a couple, you know, types of planes or whatever that didn't finish getting tested and verified.
Yeah.
So out of an abundance of caution, they canceled some flights.
Yeah.
Maybe not the what did they say? Catastrophic disruption.
Planes did not fall out of the sky.
It is Good Morning America. You can always count on a little extra spice on the headline. But, okay, that makes sense. So
careful,
I guess
they had you on the Today Show. They might not have you on Good
they
Morning
did.
America.
They did. I was on the Today Show. I talked about BlackBerry, another spicy one.
Yeah.
It was a good time. That makes sense. I guess the question is, and there might not be an answer to this, but are they going to finish testing everything? Or are we going to find out, C-band's totally fine, altimeters all work, planes don't drop out?
Yeah, so that's the funny thing is, like, C-band has been rolled out in so many other countries, Australia, Korea, China.
It's like 40 countries.
40 countries for, like, a year, and they have no problems with this. I think in a lot of those countries, they also decided not to put in near airports just in case.
Okay, so there's some legit concern.
Yeah. I mean, like every radio instrument uses spectrum, and if there's interference or leakage, it could cause a problem. Like the altimeters that most of these planes use do have backup spectrum that they use in case there is interference.
Right.
And that is limited to just their stuff. I think it's like 220 megahertz or something is limited to exactly the altimeters. So they should still work, but anything regarding public safety and especially airplanes, people are just like, hold the phone here.
Yep. Make sure it all works.
Which makes sense.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got the explainer.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thank you.
So if you have a 5G phone Hopefully you'll start getting better speeds because Verizon and AT&T flipped on their C-band switch on, I think, the 19th?
Yeah, it was like a week ago.
Exactly a week ago, actually. Yeah. It was Wednesday of last week.
So and when they say turn your phone on airplane mode, you really should turn your phone on airplane mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's,
do it.
And if you have 5G, you're the reason all the planes are crashing.
Yeah. I was actually looking that up yesterday. I was like, why does airplane mode exist? And it's basically the same reason. Like now in Android 12, when you turn on airplane mode, it doesn't turn off your Bluetooth. Or I think that it's either an Android 12 or an iOS 15.
It's been both, yeah, for a little bit. Because I always notice that because I always have my Bluetooth headphones on. And every time I want to stop like downloading, I turn on airplane mode and then I have to turn Bluetooth back on.
Yeah.
And probably about a year ago, it just stopped turning Bluetooth off. It's just like, yeah, you're good.
And it's funny because if you go to Apple's website and their page on like what is airplane mode, they say this is a toggle that we use to comply with FAA regulation, which is kind of like a backhanded way of saying like, we have to do this.
Yeah. I mean, like, it just turns off your cellular radios pretty much.
Yeah.
And your GPS. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, that's good to know. I think our plans should be good. I hope our plans are good from now on.
Yeah.
This week on The Pitch, we're back to pitches. And this one's coming from my job.
What Podcast AI does is it lets podcast producers become 10 times more productive.
How much are you charging The Pitch?
We're charging $99, and Josh came in right before we doubled our prices.
Mm-hmm. What's keeping something like a Restream from just going like, yep, we do all this AI now stuff too?
So there's a lot of these older companies that are tacking on AI, and that's kind of the issue, they're tacking it on.
You built this really quickly. What's to stop anybody else from doing this? What's the moat?
How do you build a moat when you're building with AI? That's this week on The Pitch. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
When was the last time you noticed a federal comment period? You know the type. Federal government is passing a law or changing a rule, and they want to hear what you think about it. Well, one of those comment periods just kicked off and runs for the next 2 months, and it's a big one. The federal government wants to know what you think about their plan to reschedule marijuana. Not what time you take your smoke breaks, Spicoli.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule is totally confusing.
The federal government is basically trying to recategorize weed, and it could happen as soon as Election Day. The president says it's a big deal.
This is monumental.
But we reached out to a cannabis policy reporter at Politico to ask if she thought it was monumental. And she said yes, but also no. Our conversation is waiting for you at Today Explained.
We did ask on Twitter for you guys to ask a bunch of questions. We asked what you wanted to know. It's been a little bit since we've done a Q&A.
Yeah.
I've actually been thinking about doing more Q&A stuff again, but we wanted to do some on Waveform. Mac heard me say, all right, and he is now staring at me.
Ready to go.
Are we about to, what's going on?
Lay down,
5 p.m., buddy.
Yeah, we're just going to answer some questions from you guys from Twitter. So I'm going to open the tweet and find some, and we can just
We have a bunch listed already, too. I could just hop right in.
I was trying to give the impression that we're doing this live.
Just kidding. I just opened Twitter and found a bunch of
Let's
totally
just check
random
some tweets
questions.
Out, you know? Let's just check them out. We didn't get the
curtain. We like to put a little bit of effort into this.
I haven't actually
podcast.
Seen them. Yeah, it's, they're live for me.
I have the first one. And this is a question we get asked all the time. So I think this is the best place to just put the nail in the coffin. Genuine question, why do you guys wear headphones? To hear yourself, won't that be annoying? I've been watching the content, been listening to the podcast since the beginning. Thank you so much. So
why do we wear headphones on the podcast?
Yes.
Basically to monitor our levels.
Yeah.
And to hear what you guys hear. To make sure we're not too far away and start sounding like this, or we're starting popping and making weird noises directly into the mic, we can sort of monitor ourselves. And sorry for audio listeners that I had to demo that. But
I mean, there's also other things like we work in an area that has a lot of outside noise. So sometimes rather than continue on a really long like train of thought or have Adam have to tell us to stop, it's easier to hear that then and just know like maybe I should give this a second and we'll wait for that noise to go. Also,
unless you're David, who just talked through two trucks driving by.
Yeah, like you'll probably
we all heard it.
It gets a little more hectic with three people. But also
I was in the zone, man.
Adam's desk is like a little over, so it's easier for us then to communicate to each other. Also, like, just because you hear it on the podcast, we talk about a bunch of other stuff. We have to go over the ads we're doing later. We have to go over when we're doing ad breaks, and it just makes it easier for all of us to communicate while we're right here.
We can't all be Adam and see the levels all the time on a board. So all right, I got another one here. When do you listen to podcasts, and how have your listening habits evolved over the years? Mine is very specific.
I think this is a really good question because my habits have changed so much because of COVID, or did at least for a little while. Like,
I only listen to podcasts when I am traveling over 20 miles per hour, meaning I'm either on a plane or driving. I don't listen to podcasts any other time other than traveling.
What if you're in traffic and you're going like 5 miles per
hour? It just pauses.
New York City
it's,
traffic.
It's GPS linked.
Do you not like if you're like riding a bike or anything or going for a run?
Music.
Or do you run really fast?
I run. I don't actually go for runs. I bike because my knees are, accelerated age.
A good idea.
But I'm a music person during workouts.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Actually, I just watch TV when I bike.
Or that.
What about when you're cleaning?
You watch TV when you're biking down the street?
Yeah.
That seems dangerous.
I just like, you just peer through all the neighbors' windows. It's not very,
you don't follow through much. It's like frame by frame.
I think I mostly only listen to my podcast when I'm traveling, like commuting or like traveling, even traveling on the plane. I don't listen too much. So when COVID stopped, I basically stopped listening to anything, like completely stopped.
Wow.
Yeah, even like video podcasts, like I listen to the H3 podcast all the time, and that's almost like more of a show because if it's all video, but I still only ever really listen to that. And if there's a part that I like really wanted to watch, I'll just make sure I hit the Clips channel after and like watch that later. But yeah, I feel like it needs to be something that's going on for at least 20 minutes for me to get into enough of a podcast.
I need to be in motion too to listen to podcasts, but it's usually walking that I listen to podcasts. And then now when I'm driving to work, I usually listen to podcasts. There's always like daily morning podcasts and Radiolab and all that stuff. But the hour commute to work is a good amount of time to get through like a thick, good podcast. And then when I'm walking to my coffee shop in the morning, which is a 5-minute walk, I listen to 5 minutes, get my coffee, talk to everyone there for an hour, 5 minutes back to my car, and then I start again. So
yeah,
that is good.
To be specific.
During during COVID, I would very specifically walk the dog for one daily episode, something like that. Like a daily episode is usually like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and that was like
a
perfect amount to go take the dog for a walk.
And you get slightly depressed.
Exactly. It was that time too, man. It was a rough time.
You do got to find the podcast that's the right length to not finish. If you're halfway through a podcast, when you finish your walk, it's like, why did I even start?
Well,
I need to finish it.
You either have to finish like half, like in equal parts through it. So like halfway through it, or you have to finish it. If you finish and there's like 10 minutes left. That's that weird, like, am I going to sit in my driveway now for 10 minutes or am I going to start this and then still have 70% of my next commute with
something else? The only episode that of any podcast I've ever done that for was, I've said this before, the Reply All episode,
which
is a two-part long distance episode. Got home, sat in my driveway, and just sat there riveted. It was great. Shout out to Reply All. All right, there's more questions.
Yeah, I have another one. Sticking to the Waveform podcast stuff, how long does it usually take to release a Waveform podcast episode? I think I'll answer the first part. And Adam, do you want to answer the second part?
Should I record this on my phone and then we can stitch that in, like a video of Adam across the room? The Adam cast?
The Adam cast.
Adam cam.
Adam cam.
In terms of like writing it, I usually take Monday, Tuesday to write it. And that's pretty much just like, actually all of us, we have a Waveform channel on Slack. Everyone posts just like kind of random articles they've seen that are interested in that aren't quite
topic gathering.
Yeah, like topic gathering that we probably won't make a full video on. Like, and then all those go into a doc usually Monday, Tuesday. I kind of put it all together, grab the ads, get them all in documents. Wednesday, all of us sit down and shoot.
Today's Wednesday.
And then, today is Wednesday. And then right when we leave from here, Adam is the rest of the stuff on that.
Yeah, so then after everyone shoots in here, I pull everything into the computer and I import it. And the rest of Wednesday, I dedicate to cleaning audio. Then I sync everything up Thursday morning when I come in, and I spend all day Thursday chopping up the video, making sure that there's graphics to go and making sure that the title's good, the thumbnail, all that stuff ready to go for Friday, because we publish at 4 a.m. Eastern time. But then there's also the longer episodes, like David and I are working on one right now that could take months.
Yeah,
like,
you guys will research that for a long time.
Yeah, we're done with interviews for that. And I think just chopping it up and doing all that stuff is going to take like another
month. Just interviews. Today is January 26th. And we started that when we got back from break.
Yeah.
So it's been like 3 weeks of constantly emailing and interviewing people. Yeah.
And then we have to actually record it with you guys. And then we have to cut that. It's going to be a while.
Yeah.
So we got the background big projects.
I'd say most episodes a week. Pretty much start to finish, of like total start to total finish. And I mean, we all work together, but that's the main gist of it. And then some episodes when these guys are doing a ton of research, a month or two, they could be really long. I'll just hop into the next one since I have it here. What was MKBHD, but I'll have all of us answer this, favorite video he's ever made or the most fun video you've ever made?
Reviewing Mac.
I think that's the same answer for most of us. That or Bixby Speaker. We're talking about fun, like we probably had
that was fun to make because we knew the result we wanted in mind. But as far as fun during a shoot, nothing tops shooting Mac for an entire day.
And Mac came out exactly how we wanted it to.
Yeah.
Also, it like just was so good.
Yeah. Easy. I have one for David, actually.
Oh.
How has your Pixel 6 experience gotten any better after the January update?
Yeah.
I have a very brief answer because I've used Pixel 6 a little bit since I got the update, really only for a day.
Yeah.
Less bugs total, still bugs.
Yeah.
I had an entire system UI crash the day after the update.
Oof.
It's not fixed, but it's better.
I used it for 2 days after the update. Okay. So not a lot. A lot of the bugs that were like, I literally switched off of the Pixel 6 Pro because it had so many bugs. Like I tried to keep on it, but over time it just got more and more and more buggy to the point where I like couldn't use it anymore. And I think the January update came out like a week after I switched off of it. Switched back to it for like 2 to 3 days. And it felt like a majority of the like, I can't use this phone anymore bugs sort of went away. Mm-hmm. But there are still just random issues. Like my all my widgets that I use in Material U, every time I swipe back to the home screen, they're just not there. And then 3 seconds later, they load in.
Or they dump from RAM every time you go home?
Every time I go home.
That's like not an issue that happens on most phones.
Yeah.
It's like a very basic thing. Like my biggest bug, which was frame rate drops, did seem to fix.
Mm.
So I have my animation specs back set to regular speed. I was dropping to like basically 60 hertz all the time on the 6 Pro. I didn't want to force 120 hertz all the time because then your battery life just dumps. Mm. But after the update, seems like that part is fine. It still has some occasional hiccups and drops, but at least it's not 60 all the time.
Yeah. Adam is using the regular Pixel 6, and he said that he like just can't open certain apps sometimes. They just won't open.
Yeah, Instagram just keeps crashing on me.
Twitter keeps crashing on, but that's on several phones.
Yeah,
that's
a Twitter thing. Has been crashing on me for years.
That's a Twitter issue.
Evergreen.
Evergreen.
I have one that I like kind of for Marquez, but I also like, I think it's a cool question. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on spending more purely for aesthetic purposes? Example, buying an iPad Pro when an Air would be totally fine, but you just prefer the squared off camera bump? Something like that.
Ooh, interesting.
And I know you've done this before. You've definitely spent more money specifically because, and I think we all have probably.
It's interesting because a lot of times the bettered thing is also better looking.
True.
So it will usually be one of the bullet points that makes me spend more. Like if we use the iPad example, I agree that the iPad Pro looks better, but I also like really like the 120 hertz display. Mm-hmm. So there's things. Yeah, I don't know if I would ever, if the only difference was aesthetics, it would really just be like, how much extra are we talking here?
Right.
Because the iPad Pro is $900, $1,000, and the iPad Air is not anywhere near that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't spend.
You're basically getting 120 hertz, and that's kind of it.
I would, if it was just aesthetics, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, I guess it's more like, if this would be fine for you, and you are getting some extra things, but you're like, that looks so much better. I kind of see it as like, whenever I'm making a big purchasing decision, it's like I'm willing to spend all this money and I've done a ton of research on it. And do I think just because that thing looks better, like when I get this thing, I still spend, because an iPad Air is still expensive. Like it's still a big purchase.
Yeah.
Are you going to get that and then just constantly wish you had the other thing? And like in that sense,
aesthetics.
I think I'd rather spend the extra money so I'm not disappointed with the thing I still spent a ton of money on.
I think that a lot of people sort of try to pretend that the aesthetics of a device has nothing to do with the functionality or the like how much you like it. Yes. But like they wouldn't make phones glass. If they didn't want it to be aesthetic, they wouldn't want to, they wouldn't like make the colors a big deal. People, the amount that I go on Twitter and I see people just being like, that color is so hot, definitely going to cop. It's like, color is important to people, which is sort of ironic considering they put cases on like every phone.
That's also funny.
But if I was buying a product, like, because I'm going to use it every day, kind of like you had mentioned, Andrew, like you have to weigh over X period of time, what's the amount of money I'm willing to spend just to be like, I like how this looks more and I'm not wishing that I got the other one.
Yeah. If you're wishing you had the other thing, you're going to have a bad experience with that. So like,
it's part of your overall experience, whether or not you want to admit it or not. It doesn't really matter with the chipset and the RAM. Like that's part of the experience too.
I have many thoughts that just come to my head. One of them was, it really depends on the product. Like, on what that is. Like if it's a car, people spend more on aesthetics all the time.
Oh yeah.
Just because you can just add an option that looks cool, whatever. The other thing is, I think because we're nerds and we like really priding ourselves in like the best tech and like using the most functional thing, we try to like jade ourselves into thinking like we're not getting it because it's hot looking, but like some phones just look really good and we're like very happy that it's also a good phone. And also I just thought of the opposite thing, which is I am currently using the Apple Watch Series 7, which doesn't come in black. It's dark blue, but the 15% faster charging is so damn useful for me that I just use it now. I prefer the previous watch with less curved screens and with the actual black finish. But I use the one that I don't like aesthetically as much because it's more functional. I don't hate it, but...
It would be fun to find a more perfect example of this so we could really see what that price cutoff is of like, what am I willing to... Like if the S21 Ultra, you could get it in... Did they make the purple and gold Ultra?
No.
Let's say they did, because I know you don't love that.
Right.
And for $200 more, you could get the matte black version.
$200.
I mean, it's like a $1,000 phone already, so.
Yeah, you know, in a world where I'm not 20%. Testing new phones every week or whatever, and I'm like, I'm committing to this phone for the next 2 years, I'd spend that.
Yeah.
Like, they do work that into the pricing, though, right? Like, the Huawei Mate Flip or...
P50 Pocket.
The Huawei P50 Pocket has a gold color version that is called Gold Special Edition or something like that.
Costs more.
Costs quite a bit more. Does it have any extra RAM or anything? Do they even mention that?
I don't know. I was thinking there's no way. I think it's at least $200 more.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I think it is $200 more.
There's got to be something else to it other than just the color. And I have not confirmed that yet.
One, it might not. But two, a lot of the time manufacturers will make something a nicer color and maybe put in like... 2 extra gigs of RAM, because then people want it, but they can justify it by saying, I get more RAM, even if that RAM is not worth $200.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a scheme.
Yeah, you get the Super Ultra Deluxe Special Edition, which looks way hotter and then has,
little bit better specs.
A little bit more RAM. You're like, well, it's better, so that's why I got it.
It's easier for people to justify to other people that they got something for functional purposes than they got it just for aesthetic purposes. That's why.
That's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
I like that.
I had an interesting one that said, question for everyone at the studio. One, how do you guys maintain work-life balance? And two, what is the most used app on your phones other than social media apps? I think one thing that's kind of interesting and probably similar for all of us is that we love this stuff. And like, this is what me and my friends talk about already. Mm-hmm. So a funny thing is like at work, it doesn't really feel like work. Obviously, we are producing a good that is consumed by people. So we are working. But it doesn't feel like work in the same way that like previous jobs that I like really didn't care for felt like work. So that's a big thing. Obviously, there are some things where like, I probably should exercise. I probably should socialize. So that's something that I just have to like make sure that I do. But I'm a very social person, so I end up doing that anyway. I would say my most used app is probably Pocket Casts, just because I listen to so many podcasts all the time.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. So anyway.
Do you listen to more podcasts than music?
I listen to music when I'm running because if I'm listening to something that interests me, my mind is more active than my limbs. Right. And my limbs will stop and I won't recognize it.
You'll just start walking.
Just imagining you just like pausing in the sidewalk and there for like 10 minutes before you realize.
I've tripped on a treadmill while listening to a podcast because my legs stopped moving.
That is very valid.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So I listen to a lot of music like when I'm running and sometimes in the car and sometimes at home when I'm like cleaning my room or something. But
otherwise podcasts. My ratio like flipped super hard. I was like, I had like 80,000 minutes a year on Spotify, and then I listened to more and more podcasts, and I've gone down in music every year. My Spotify Wrapped is like a third of what it used to
Mine honestly does this. Sometimes I'm like, I'm really just feeling music for a long time, and then sometimes it's just like tons of podcasts.
I'm in a podcast stage right now. Yeah. Almost no music, but then I'll like... But then it like I listen to the same music over and over. I don't discover a lot of new music, so I think that's why it does that. And then I'll just be like, "Oh, I love this song," and then I'll listen to that playlist I made.
Were
and
you
then,
in
like,
the top,
I won't listen to.
What was your rap?
I was 2% for Taylor. 2%. Claire was one, so she beat me. This is garbage.
Yo, that household
that's
is
gonna
bumping.
Hurt. Yeah, yeah. That household is in the top 0.5%
Yeah, it's incredible. No, I kind of for the to answer the question, I feel like you know work life balance. For me is
hi Mac
is main it doesn't exist really I just because I mean it's the internet
Frisbee's
it
your
like
divide,
I have I have my left brain right brain so I because I care about both very much I like I find the time I used to also have class every day so it really doesn't feel like as much of a challenge these days to balance left brain right brain because I don't have to go to class most used app. Tick-Tick. It's my task managing app. I would be dead or gone without it and calendar. So that's me.
Yeah, I work life. I mean, it's like David said, like working here is way more fun than any previous job I had. I definitely had that. What do they call it? It's like
shitty job.
Well, yes. I had a job that I didn't love, which meant every night when I would get home, I would stay up to like 3 o'clock in the morning because I was just like, I felt like my day was wasted and I would like, I would
want to
do things. Yeah. I would be so scared, like worried to go to sleep because I felt like I didn't accomplish anything that day. Even if it was just like relaxing or playing video games or something like that, where at this job, I feel so much more like I did something I enjoyed during the day and I can go home and like eat dinner and go to bed if I want to and never have an issue with that. And then other than that, it's just like, making sure I'm scheduling things correctly so my weekend isn't just being lazy the entire time. Like, I'm getting things done that I want. I'm going climbing, going to see my in-laws, going to hang out with friends, getting stuff done around the house, all that. It's just making sure, plan it like a day ahead and you'll be okay. If you sit around all day, you'll waste it and then you'll be dreading going to work again.
Yeah.
It's the app that I use that's not social media. TikTok social media, right? Even though I don't post on it at all, though.
Media,
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Man, I'm just really addicted to social media, apparently.
You can check your digital well-being.
Yeah, that would be bad for me.
It's mostly social media.
Like,
I mean, it's lots of
scared.
What is it? YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. I mean, Gmail isn't social media, but it's social. Yeah. So it's like...
I mean, okay, neither of you guys have ever heard of this. It's called the Gunks app. It's very local to where I am. It's pretty much when you do outdoor climbing... You have to buy guidebooks to know what the climbs are outside
social
because
media.
That's not social media. I mean, do you want to look at this app? This app is not social media.
Is it? Wait, so
I feel like
Gunk,
if it's not Twitter, TikTok,
this is literally,
or Facebook,
this,
I feel like it's
this
okay.
is literally a book in an app, pretty much.
Oh, you're not? These aren't contributed by other users?
Nope. Okay. This is a person who wrote
wait,
a guidebook.
So would all trails
a certain
be
amount.
Social media?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Because that's other people's, it's social because a lot of people are trying to find the right thing. And then the media is the reviews of the trail.
Look at,
people
tell me that's social media with a title like that.
It's not social media.
This is not social media. So pretty much what it does is like when I go outdoor climbing, I pick an area and that area then on this, people have made climbs out of things. So you can look at what the rock
drawn
looks like
people.
So you can find it and then you can see what the climb is.
That might be social media.
This is garbage.
It might be.
It is.
Are your kids into rock climbing apps? Careful. They might be into social media.
They might be on Gunk.
Dude, I really don't know then other than that. The next is like Rook Coffee where I order my coffee.
That's fair.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. There's definitely social media inside of it. There's like a Twitter client. maybe find one good one to end
on. I have a perfect ending one,
okay.
I think. Okay. Congrats on the 100th episode. What's one thing that Waveform wants to achieve before the 200th episode? I think this is a good one to end on.
Let's all give something.
Yeah.
I know what I want to do more of on Waveform, which is have guests on.
Correct.
And,
yes,
you know, we have this
so.
Podcast studio and we already know we can have guests like call into the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's even better if they show up here in person. But generally what makes a podcast interesting is number one, no matter what you think of Joe Rogan, like having experts on and smart people on to talk about something that they know a lot more than you about and learning in real time. Mm. That is awesome. I want to do that more. and just diversity of thought in general. I think we can mm-hmm. have like creators on. I think we can have people on other social networks. I think we can have people who have very different jobs that have a lot to talk about. That'll be really fun. So yeah. I want to have more guests.
We're already talking to two right now. So that's coming soon. Good start to the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
You?
Me? Oh. Well, you know how you mentioned earlier that you sat in your car and you listened to that Reply All episode until it was done? I think a lot of the best podcasts or like the most talked about podcasts have either one or two or three episodes that are just like legendary. Like, what was it? Serial? It was kind of that was a whole podcast and it was a whole season. Yeah. But it was a podcast that sort of like revolutionized podcasting. And
that's what I thought about when I thought of like sitting in your driveway. I think I did it for every episode.
Yeah. And so like good. A lot of podcasts will have one or two or three episodes that just everyone knows about because it's so good that people are like, holy crap. There was also a Reply All episode about like the case of the missing song or something. Oh
God, that was a good one.
Such
that was
good. A good
and everyone
episode.
Just shared that around the internet for like 2 weeks. And I think that sort of exemplifies how certain episodes and the quality of storytelling can transcend people knowing about something already. It goes viral not because of some like exterior reason, because one person was like, really like this episode, and then everyone watches it. Like, I know that you have mentioned before, you're very glad that you never really had a video go viral to grow, because that's how you get a ton of subscribers that will never watch again. And I totally agree with that. I want us to produce something that reaches an audience that is not our general audience, that everybody can connect with.
Yeah.
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 So
that's awesome.
That would be something I think it would be cool to do. Yeah.
I see that happening.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in that.
Sick. I think that's a good place to end it. Mac, anything to say?
Man, wait. I don't get to say anything.
I thought you were just agreeing.
I created this podcast.
I thought you were just agreeing. Hit me. And then Mac's going like to go.
Every the funny thing is I really yet. Don't have again, anything again. To say. What do I say? My thing was going to also be guests, which is kind of lame, but I do like what you're saying. Like, I would like to bring in guests that have a very faint tech aspect to them that we can just relate to. And then we can open up a whole nother category to other people and be something that helps broaden other people's horizons. And we get to learn during the experience.
Yeah. Sounds
awesome.
Favorite.
Yeah.
We'll do it. I'm committing to it right now. Boom.
Committed.
Thank you guys for joining us on the ride to this point so far. 100 episodes is not bad. It's not bad. We got a little bit of hardware on the table to show for it. But in case you haven't already, this is a pretty good time to subscribe. Because, more plaques, but also more episodes. And the whole, like, enjoying what you listen to thing can happen.
But
a
we're
more.
Really only in it for the plaques. So yeah.
We're going to have to go to a dentist pretty soon if we keep getting more plaques.
That's the goal, right?
I'm muting David.
And with that,
you can cut there.
With that, thanks for listening to episode 100. Catch you guys next time.
All right. Waveform is produced by Adam Molina. We are partnered with Vox Media, and our intro outro music was created by Vane Sill.
Are you going to leave the all right?